Psalm 51 and the verse 12 is the text that I want to leave with you this morning. It is the first part of the verse where David says to the Lord, "Restore, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Before we come to expound this text and look at it, I want with you, if you will please, a moment to go with me into the distant past, to go into our imaginations, into a scene that is a prison scene. It is the 1500s. It is exactly 1555. It is the year of the burnings. It is the year of the persecution of Protestants. It is a prison cell that we go into. It is New Park Prison. It is the night before an execution. It is the night before an execution of two men of God. Two men of God that night sit together in their prison cell on death's row. I can see them. One of them is the man of God, John Bradford. And you know something? He's not depressed. He's not cast down, even though he's going out the next day to the fires of Smithfield Market. Quite the opposite. He's almost excited. He's elated. I can see him. He swings on the end of his bed with joy. His face shines. He looks out through the hole in the wall that is barred. He views tomorrow as his wedding day, like a bridegroom. And to his fellow martyr, he says these words, "Fine shining we shall make tomorrow when the flame is kindled." He smiles. He laughs. Is John Bradford insane? Is he mad? No. He has what David has lost. He has the joy of salvation. He has the assurance that when those fires are ignited and consume him up, he shall be forever with the Lord. And he's not depressed, and he's not cast down. And he cheers up his brother in the Lord. I think we have a text here that is appropriate for us today. We are not going out to the fires tomorrow. We're not going out to certain execution tomorrow, and yet we have less joy than John Bradford. I think we live in an age when Christians, generally speaking, are without the joy of salvation. I think we live in an age when this word is very appropriate for us. I believe this is a word appropriate for our congregation this morning. Are we cast down? Are we depressed? Are we in despair? Are we in defeat? Then this is a prayer we need to pray. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Salvation's joys, lost and restored. I want you to notice, first of all, the central theme of the Bible is referred to in our text. The central theme of the Bible is referred to in our text. What's the central theme of the Bible? Salvation. Salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That's the central theme in the Holy Scriptures. David knew about salvation. Let us not think that the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of salvation from sin, is just a New Testament doctrine. There are some people think that the Old Testament saints, they didn't know anything about salvation. They didn't know about this business of being saved. All they knew about was the Holy Land and the land of Canaan and Jerusalem. Well, that's utter nonsense. David knew about salvation. He knew about the joys of salvation. He knew about the salvation that you and I know about, because that theme is the central theme of the Bible. It's what the Scriptures are all about. David here isn't talking about salvation from the Philistines. And he's not talking here about salvation from the Egyptians. And he's not talking about salvation from the Canaanites. No, there's only one thing in view in this psalm. Sin. Sin and salvation. This is a psalm. It says nothing about Philistines. It says nothing about Egyptians. It says nothing about Canaanites. But it says plenty about sin. In sin, my mother conceived me. I was shapen in iniquity. I confess my sins unto thee. Have mercy upon me. The salvation that David knew is the salvation that you and I that are saved know, and it's the salvation that's the main theme of the Holy Book, a salvation from sin. David knew about salvation. And that's what the Bible's about, isn't it? You remember how Paul wrote to Timothy and he said that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation. That's what the Bible's about. But why has God given us this book? Why has he placed it in your hand? It is that you might know about being saved, that you might know about salvation. It's the central theme of the Bible. And the Psalms, it may surprise you, but the Psalms are especially full of this matter. Just you trace the word salvation with a good concordance in the Psalms, and you'll find how often David and how often the psalmists are speaking about salvation. They're singing about salvation, because the Psalms, of course, were sung in Old Testament times and in New Testament times. They're always singing about this matter. Singing about being saved. Singing about the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. It's the main theme of the Bible, and it's the central theme in our text. Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. It's the main thing. It's the main thing God has to show us. It's the main thing God has to tell us about. So the central theme of the Bible is referred to in our text. But I want you to notice also that that central theme of the Bible, salvation, that salvation, you will observe from our text, is wholly of God. It's God's salvation. You'll see what David says there. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now, I have sometimes heard this text misquoted. Perhaps you have misquoted it yourself. Perhaps I in the past have been guilty of it also. Sometimes this text has been quoted, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You can't pray that. That's a good prayer. That's a biblical prayer. But that's not what the text says here. The text says here, restore unto me thy salvation. It's a divine salvation. And salvation, the salvation of the Bible, is not a salvation that you work, not a salvation that you do, not a salvation that you merit, but a salvation that God brings and gives. It's God's salvation. And that's another central theme of the Bible, isn't it? You will see that the word my salvation occurs in the Scriptures. We'll see that in a moment. But here it is, thy salvation. What did Jonah say? Salvation's of the Lord. And so it is. It's God's salvation. That's frequent here in the Psalms itself. In Psalm 50, verse 23, this is just a random selection. I will show the salvation of God. God's salvation. Psalm 40, verse 16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation. It's God that saves. It's God that brings salvation. Psalm 3 and verse 8, the same message that Jonah had, David has it also. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why, brethren and sisters, let us never forget it. Let us never utter that name, but we know its meaning. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he, and he alone, shall save his people. From what? From their sins. Praise God. That's the salvation we want. Not just the salvation from hell. We want a salvation from our sins. From all our sins. From the very presence of sin. And from the very spot of it that remains upon us. We want a salvation like that. The one who brings it to us and gives it to us is our Lord Jesus. It's thy salvation. It's salvation that's of the Lord. All the persons of the Godhead, they're interested in this matter of salvation. They have covenanted together, if we may use human language, in this matter of salvation. The Father has planned it. In eternity past, the Son of God has purchased it in time, in the fullness of time, with his precious blood, and the Holy Spirit plants it in our hearts when we're saved. And the preachers of the gospel preach it and proclaim it. That covenant of salvation, that salvation that God alone brings, the salvation of which David speaks in our text, thy salvation. But it is not only a salvation that is holy of God, it is a personal salvation. It is a thy salvation, but as I have said, it is also a my salvation. The pronoun is used there in verse 12, restore unto me. He doesn't say us. It's a personal thing. This matter of salvation is very personal and very private. It's between us and the Lord. It is a my salvation. And clearly, David is one who knows about that salvation. He has had that salvation experience in his life. The phrase, my salvation, you should look that up in a concordance and search it out. It's very frequent. In fact, it's used in this very psalm, in the verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. In verse 12, it's thy salvation. But in verse 14, it's my salvation, because the God of salvation has brought it to me personally. David's a saved man. I think it's some 17 times I discovered that my salvation occurs in the Psalms. Psalm 62, it occurs several occasions. Psalm 62, verse 1, from him cometh my salvation. Verse 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. Verse 7, in God is my salvation. Did you count the number of times the pronoun my occurs in that psalm? It's very frequent. Did David know he was a saved man? He did. Did David have assurance of salvation? He did. Did he have that experience of being saved? He did. The Old Testament saints were saved. And they praised the God of their salvation. The salvation that he had brought to their hearts. The salvation that they had experienced. They sung of it. A salvation from sin. They had that privilege. And you know, the New Testament saint is no different. He ought to be enjoying that privilege as well. After all, the New Testament times are times of greater light, aren't they? And we've a greater Bible now. We've the New Testament scriptures. And what is more, the Lord has poured out abundantly upon the church at Pentecost the Holy Spirit. So we ought to have more now of a spirit of adoption, more now of a spirit of assurance, more now to be able to sing these very psalms. We praise thee, O God of my salvation. We live in New Testament times, so we should have not any less assurance of salvation than David. We should have more. So it is a personal salvation. But you know, but David also knew that this divine and personal salvation, if we look back at our text again, he knew that this divinely given salvation and very personal salvation which he himself experienced, he knew that it brought great joy. Because he talks about here the joy of salvation. You know, salvation is a felt thing, or it ought to be, as well as a telt thing. David writes about the joy of salvation. Now, of course, joy doesn't come first, but joy follows salvation. Salvation brings pardon and purity. And where those are, then joy necessarily ought to follow. And David had joy. He had the joy of salvation. He writes about that. Now, of course, he doesn't have it just at the minute. He's lost it, you see, as we'll see in a moment. But he certainly knows there is joy in salvation. And there's joy about being saved. And there's the joy that he has himself experienced in the past about this matter. The joy of salvation. Salvation's a joyful thing. And this joy is not something for future in eternity. Of course, it'll be fullness of joy then. It'll be greater then. It'll be without cloud and without spot and without being broken up at all. But he's not speaking about a fullness of joy in eternity to come, the joy of being with the Lord. He's speaking about a joy in the earth just now. I think many Christians lose that. Do you want me to ask, do you wonder why the church is powerless today? I think this is one of the reasons. Christians are joyless. Joyless Christians are powerless Christians. But David knew there was joy in salvation. And he's much to say about the joy of salvation. And again, I remind you, it's not just a New Testament thing. If we just confine ourselves to the Psalms, let's see what he says about the joy of salvation. Psalm 9, verse 14. These read like New Testament texts. Verse 14, I will rejoice in thy salvation, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughters of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. David's going to sing. He's going to sing in the congregation of the saints. He's going to sing where the gathering is. He's going to sing in the gates of Zion. He's going to sing so that people coming in and out can hear him. And what's he going to sing about? I will rejoice in thy salvation. Do you sing like that? Have you a song in your heart? People can't sing today. You know why? Not because they're afraid of their voices. They haven't got a joy in their heart. David says, I will rejoice. He's talking about the joy of salvation. Chapter 13 and verse 5. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Here's the same theme again. I will sing unto the Lord because he's dealt bountifully with me. He had the joy of salvation. It was in his heart. There's joy, joy, joy down in my heart, he says in the words of the chorus. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. He's full of joy. He's lost it in Psalm 51, as we'll see. But generally speaking, he had it. And then in Psalm 20 and the verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation. He puts in the people of God here. And in thy name, in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. There's a military picture here. There's a picture of a soldier here. He's going to warfare. He's going to erect the banners. There's going to be the congregation of the army around him as they go forth to battle. But you'll notice that the banners are erected with joy. The joy of salvation. You can't be a warrior for the Savior unless you've got the joy of the Lord. I will rejoice in thy salvation and will set up our banners. He had the joy of being saved. Psalm 21 and verse 1. Here he is, the king upon his throne. He's going to do many things, but what's going to be primary in his life? The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice? He wants to be a good monarch. He wants to rule well over the people of God. But he knows this. He needs the strength of the joy of being saved. The joy of salvation. Psalm 35, just to give you another one. Psalm 35 and verse 9. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Here it is. We've only got to Psalm 35. We haven't exhausted the theme by any means. It's the same thing again. Rejoicing in the redemptive work of his Savior. Rejoicing in being saved. Salvation, brethren and sisters, is a matter of rejoicing. Now, you shouldn't be cast down. You shouldn't let that little thing tomorrow niggle at you and eat away at your joys. You're saved. You know Jesus Christ. And the sinners all around you who have no interest in the things of God and have no faith in Jesus Christ and have no knowledge of salvation, let them be the ones that are cast down. But not you, child of God. You who are redeemed by blood, you who have been reconciled to God, you who have been taught of heaven, you who have been saved of grace, you who the Lord's eyes have opened with his own hand so that you see he is the only Savior and you believe in him, why should you be cast down? Why do you dishonor your Lord by being long-faced about minor things? When you know the God of glory and the God of grace, Jesus Christ, you should be rejoicing. David knew the joy of salvation. Salvation is pictured in the Bible as a joyful thing. David says, I'll take the cup of salvation. The cup is a joyful thing. It's a delightful thing. If you're thirsty, if you've been in a hot wilderness where the sun has been burning down, scorching you, dehydrating you, and you take a cup and it quenches your thirst, the joy of that cup, that's what salvation is. It's the joy of being saved in this wilderness world. It's pictured as drinking water out of the well of salvation. It's pictured as a prodigal coming home from the far country. Joy, gladness. It's pictured as the sheep being lost in the wilderness, but now found and on the shepherd's back going home. These are faint pictures of the salvation that our Jesus hath wrought. We will rejoice in it. And be glad. David knew this divine and personal salvation was one that brought great joy. But I want you to notice also that that joy may be lost. Because David here says, restore unto me. What meanest thou, David, by this phrase? He answers, I have lost it, Lord. That joy of thy salvation which I have wrote about in the Psalms. That joy of thy salvation which I sung once off in the congregation of the saints. Now since my sin with Bathsheba, it is gone. It has evaporated. It has left my soul. And now I feel as miserable as the wicked. And he says, restore unto me the joy. David lost the joy. And he didn't just lose the joy. He became miserable. A backslider is miserable. A backslider is the most miserable specimen of a creature. Because a backslider has known something of the joy of salvation. But he's lost it. And he's lost to any joy. And he's a misery. Misery in his soul. You see, joy cannot exist in an unholy life. Joy cannot exist where sin is being lived in. Joy cannot exist where the commandments of God are being disobeyed and broken continually. David has done that. He has committed adultery. He has not found repentance or forgiveness yet until this psalm, until the prophet arrives with the word of God. But the joy has gone. He lost the joy. But you know, he didn't lose his salvation. He doesn't say, "Restore unto me the salvation." Because the backslider, the true backslider, the miserable backslider, the backslider who knows what he's losing out on and missing, has not lost salvation. You see, salvation, brethren and sisters, we know it, is not a here today and gone tomorrow thing. He's not praying here for the restoration of salvation. He's praying here for the restoration of joy. There's a big difference, isn't there? You can lose the joy, but you can't lose salvation. You can't lose salvation. Because if you're saved, you're joined to Jesus Christ, you're one of his members, and the Lord never loses one of his members. Not a bone of him was broken. He'll never lose a member of his body. But his people, through their unbelief and through their folly and through their sins and through their backslidings, lose the joy. The union is unbreakable, but the communion fluctuates very often. David is a true saint. He has not lost his salvation, but he has lost his joy. And what does God do to a backslider who loses his joy? What does God do with backsliders? You know what he does with backsliders? And this is the only way you can know whether one's a true backslider or not. He brings his word to them again. He comes knocking at the door of his heart again with his word. He sent Nathan the prophet to David, and he knocked at the door of his heart, and he brought them the parable of the lamb. And with the message of the lamb, David was again broken. And having been broken by the parable of the lamb, he sat down and penned this prayer with all his heart. And he asked for the restoration of joys, of salvation's joys. Backslider, if you're a true backslider, God will come knocking at your heart with his word. Perhaps he knocks this morning. Perhaps this text is the very word that knocks at your heart. It is the very word you have to pray. This is the very psalm you need to go home with and open it up before God and cry it out unto your Savior and ask again for the restoration of salvation's joys. The joy may be lost. But you know, this is a wonderful thing. Lost joy can be restored. Lost joy can be restored. And it needs to be restored. Brethren and sisters, we need the joy of the Lord. Let there not be a miserable Christian in Guildford. Let there never be an unhappy Christian in this congregation. Let there not be long-faced saints. We need joy. We need to be joyful, brethren and sisters. David wants the joy returned. He needs the joy. He needs it. Why does he want joy returned? Why does he want the joy of salvation returned? Well, he needs it for his comfort. And then he needs it for his strength, doesn't he? You know, without joy, you're weak. The joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is your strength. And that's very true. It's having no joy is like having broken bones. A fellow with broken bones isn't able to stand upright. He can't do anything. And that's what a lack of joy is. You'll see that in verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Lord, I'm like a skeleton with broken bones. and I'm just a heap on the ground, and I'm useless for anything, and I can't serve thee, and I can do nothing for thee. Put joy and gladness in this frame. Make this frame erect again for thee, with the joy and gladness of thy salvation planted in its heart. You can't serve God without joy. Because the world will just look at you and they'll just say, he's as miserable as I am. He's got nothing. We've got salvation. We're going to heaven. The ungodly are just living for the day. They're the ones that are hopeless and miserable. But not us. Why are we miserable? Why are we depressed? Why are we cast down? We're getting our eyes off the Lord. We're getting our eyes off the Savior. We're getting our eyes off the one thing needful. We're being like Martha, hither and thither, cumbered with many things. We're getting away from the place of joy, the feet of Jesus. It needs to be restored. You need to pray this prayer. He needs it for his strength. He needs it for his usefulness. You will notice what he says there. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He doesn't expect to be a good teacher without joy. And he certainly doesn't expect to see sinners saved unless he himself has joy. And so, Lord, he says, restore to me the joy. And then I'll be able to teach transgressors effectively. And then we'll maybe see people saved. Why is the church not seeing people saved? I think this might be a reason. Christians are as miserable as sinners. That's maybe a reason. And so he needs the joy to be restored. And lost joys can be restored. That's the good news. I therefore draw your attention to this wonderful word. This wonderful word of grace. This wonderful word of the great shepherd. This wonderful word, restore. That's the word you need, my brother, this morning. That's the word you need to hear, my sister. Restore. There is restoration for you. Don't we know it? Haven't we been here many times? Haven't we let the Lord down and we've lost out with God? And then this truth, he restoreth my soul. He always has done, hasn't he? Because he's our shepherd. And we've failed him many times and we let him down many times. And again and again and again, he restoreth my soul. And he can do it again for you. He can do it for you. However far you've got away from the Lord, however deep into backsliding you may have slid, there is your gracious shepherd, your chief shepherd. You know who he is. He is the blessed Lord Jesus. He can, he will restore your soul. If you did, and if you do, what you did when you were saved, what did you do? You just came to him, as you were. And he saved you. And that's what you do again. You just come to him. You just come to him who died for your sins. You just come to him who died for your backslidings. You just look to Calvary. And you look to the Savior. In fact, the best advice that I can do to you is just to take this psalm home. And just to pray it. I believe in a prayer book. If the prayer book's the Bible. Pray this from your heart. He'll restore you unto himself. You need to renew your faith in Christ, in the Savior. Pray this prayer then, joyless Christian. I think every one of us have to pray this prayer. Are we more joyful today than the day that we were saved? Have we a joy unspeakable and full of glory? We should have. All of us need to pray this. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then I'll teach transgressors. And then sinners will be converted.